Hey everyone, it's Mike, Connor, and Bob here yet again. This is 372 pages, but this is, of course, a Meet the Authors, where our own Bob Fingerman brings us a interesting gentleman, woman, no children yet, someday maybe. Someday. Bob, who do you have for us today?
His name is quite a mouthful, Lord Graham Birtwistle Pickleroy. I was looking up fancy hyphenated names. Again, sure. I just go whichever way the wind blows, and I was thinking, hey, you know, sometimes I thought it would be nice to have a hyphenated name. I have a hyphenated career, you know, writer, artist, so It's dopey. These are dopey ways to find our guests, but...
Well, were you in search of when there's funny weddings, you know, funny wedding announcements, when there's like Mr. Hog married Mrs. Pig or something. So it's the hog pig wedding. I mean, that's obviously that would be the funniest of them all. I don't think we can disagree with that. But where did any of those turn up?
With my last name, I don't feel I'm entitled to make fun of anyone else's last name. So but I also, you know, just watched The Last Man on Earth. And I was also in the Vincent Price frame of mind. So fancy, I was looking up small mustaches as well.
Sure.
You know, notable figures with a comma, you know.
<Right. laughs> It sounds like you were assembling some sort of dating profile. Must have Vincent Price mustache, hyphenated name.
I'm just happy, though, that Connor, you and I often, we just can't sync up on these author interviews. And so very, very happy that this will be a bit of a tag team on them. But let's not delay any longer. Let us bring into the conversation the author, Lord Graham Birtwistle Pickleroy. Welcome, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, it's an awful pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Delighted.
Thank you for joining us. It's very rarely that we are granted the presence of an actual lord, a British lord.
Yes, well, you know, it's more of an honorary title I got when I wrote my 100th novel. It was given to me. It was bestowed upon me. You see how I'm saying?
By the Queen.
By whom?
By the Queen, you know.
Oh, okay.
I like to call her Lizzie.
Well, so still, I mean, in terms of honorary titles, that's about as honorific as they get from the Queen. You know, that's better than a fake PhD you get for delivering a commencement.
Well, you know, she's just a big fan of the books. She reads them all. She loves them all. And then she was like, you got to get Graham into the office here and we'll do this job. And we did.
Are you one of the few lords with a distinct Cockney accent? That's strange to me. But I'm from across the pond.
I moved all over England. You know, originally, I grew up in Upton Snodsbury. You know, it's in Worcester, near North Piddle. You know, that's where I was originally. Then we lived in Barton and the Beans. That was a place we went. And then Puckle Church. And then Throop and then Droop. You know, so I've been all over. Leeds a little bit. I've been all over the place.
Mike, did you visit any of those places when you went to England 2 years ago?
I did not. No, I stuck to places like London and then we went to Wales. So you ever get to Wales, Lord?
I don't recognize Wales.
Oh, you don't recognize
it? I don't recognize it.
You mean you just don't accept that it exists?
No, I don't exist. I don't accept it to exist because I knew a kid from Wales when I was a kid. He used to pick on me. He used to beat the loving piss out of me. And I thought, you know what? We don't need Wales. The European Union doesn't need Wales. No more Wales for me.
Does that go over well with the other lords, or do they frown upon that?
It is. You know, it's funny because there's a villain in my books. He's an orca. And I do that because I friggin' hate Wales, you know? So he's in there just to represent that. So they know that. They go, oh, here comes Mr. Anti-Whale. Well, you better believe it, and they get out the way. They don't like it when I do that, but, you know, whatever.
That's nice that they recognize that the whale in your book is represented for whales, because at least that means that they're reading your books, and it can be often hard to get your peers to read to books that you've written.
Well, the thing about my books is not a single one is over 71 pages. They all end by 70. So it's an easy read. It's a fast read, but I'll get a lot done. It's complex. It's a complex read.
What's the word count on that? If 70 pages, are they big pages?
Well, it depends on like how many letters are in the villain's name that week. That changes things, you know. But it's I'd say it's roughly 78,000 words, space really.
Oh, good heavens.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, it's sort of deceptive in that you pick up this tiny thin book, but it's packed in 3-point font or something.
Yeah, is there something smaller than single space type?
Yeah, there's -5 type. That's what I use.
Wow.
You see, it's a book. It's sort of like those. You remember those magic eye books where you could see a dolphin?
Yep.
It's like that. You have to concentrate just right, cross your eyes just right, and then you're able to read the prose.
And that makes it even more remarkable that the queen who's pushing, you know, the century mark is able to put these away.
Fun fact: that's how she sees normally now. A lot of people don't know that she sees dolphins everywhere she goes.
Are you okay, Lord? It sounds like something, throat issue or anything.
No, it's all right. You know, it's just I had some porridge recently, and it's just coming up to work today. You know, so it will be okay. I promise you this.
Thank you very much.
You've written a book where a whale is the villain, but the hero of the book, it appears to me, just based on some of the book titles that Bob sent us, is a frog.
Yeah, that's right, Fitzwillie Frog. He's a detective. Basically, he helps out at Scotland Yard whenever they can't figure things out. When Sherlock is stumped, he comes in there. You know, he's small, so they can keep it on the down low, and nobody knows he's working on the case then.
And so that is a legitimate frog. That's not some weird Cockney slang or anything.
No, he's a legit frog. He's a pond frog. He's from a pond in, but he found that he had an aptitude for solving riddles and mysteries. So he went to the city where there's not that many ponds, I have to be honest. And then, you know, he just kind of, he lived in the sewers for a while, and then he found some old Sir Arthur Conan Doyle books floating around in there. People just used to toss them in the gutter. He found them there and he read them, and then all of a sudden he's like, this is for me. This is for me. So he went to Scotland Yard, and sure enough, they had a lot of open cases, and he closed them.
And so, yeah, the first book that Bob gave me was Fitzwillie Frog and the Biscuit Thief. That's something that Scotland Yard was called in for. A biscuit went missing.
Yeah, see, it was low stakes for them, so they kind of passed on it. But they're like, hey, prove your worth here, Fitzwillie. Let's see what you can do. And, you know, sure enough, the butler took him. The butler did it! I mean, who knew? He did.
It would be the person you'd least suspect, because it is, you know, that's sort of the cliche at this point in time. But he is the guy probably with the most access to the biscuits.
Yeah, right. He usually brings them in, but he would sneak them here and there. Nobody's really counting biscuits that much. And they found, get this, upwards of 68 biscuits in a safe in his room.
Rises to almost felony level then. 68 biscuits, that can get pricey.
That's right. You get to 100, it's like the three strikes rule in California. You're done, son.
You could have fit one biscuit on each page of your book and still had enough room on page 70 for probably 15,000 words or something in negative 0.5 space font.
Yeah, that's right. You definitely could have. You know, the first couple of editions came with a biscuit. It was a tie-in. I'd like to say we were sponsored by Pillsbury, but basically I went and I bought some biscuits from Pillsbury and I wrapped them up in here, but they didn't have a very good shelf life. If people didn't buy the book in the first like 3 days, it got really gummy in there. It got really moldy.
Now, is Fitzwillie the frog, does he have the limitations of an actual frog? So he's, first of all, a smaller brain, of course, and then also needs to spend some time in water, or is he sort of a special frog?
Well, it's both. He does need to get to water at least once a day. He can't go more than 24 hours without being in water. So he's got to do that. But the hardest thing for him, honestly, is he's so small, like he can't hold a bus pass. He can't hold one for the channel or the tube. You know, it's hard for him to get around. He can hop, but, you know, he can't get very far. So, you know, he has to be more inventive like that. But often they don't really, you know, have the security cameras and the turnstiles looking for a frog. So he just manages to get on like that, you know.
Right, so that's his biggest concern is getting under turnstiles. I'm getting a better picture of him now, yeah.
My question when I ever encounter a fictional frog is it sexually attracted to pigs?
You know, that is a stereotype.
Okay, well, forgive me.
Most people don't appreciate that, but actually it's true.
Okay. Well, I hope that comes up in I hope that's what he when he has to return to his pond every 24 hours. I hope that is something he's able to comfort himself with.
Yeah, those are books that are made for adults that I've written, but I haven't released them yet, and I don't know if anybody really should read these.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
They get a little little spicy.
They're a little spacey. They're sort of like Skinemax. It's Cinemax after 11:30 p.m. You know.
Do you have that there across the pond? You have Cinemax?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is I pirate cable. Don't tell anyone. So I get some of the American stations, you know, and I do love the Cinemax and the Stars. Stars is a good station then. Love that a lot. Obviously, BET, Black Entertainment Network, big in my household. All sorts of stuff we watch, you know.
Do they run a cable like under the sea? Is that how you pirate cable? Like, or are you more of a BitTorrent kind of guy?
Oh no, it's actual cable.
Wow.
I had to spend $1.6 million on connectors alone, you know. But it's worth it for all the additional programming.
Yeah, you can call it the cable descrambler that Fitz Willy Frog built.
Yeah, but I could write that. You know, I have written 146 books so far, so that could be the 147th.
A lot of these titles, I was struck by, some of them seem, I don't want to say straightforward, but Fitz Willy Frog Sunk in Porridge. Sort of proving just how, you know, British he really is.
I thought that might have been one of the After Dark ones, actually.
Hey, now. Rosamund Pike Fish Princess that's an actual person, right?
Yeah, that is a problem with that book. I actually wrote that before the Fitzwillie series. I put it out, and then I was told there was an actual fish named Rosamund Pike.
Oh, my God, what a terrible coincidence. Because, yeah, she's but, you know, she didn't sue you or anything, I assume.
No, she loves it, actually. She had me frame a copy and send it to her. She didn't want to sign, though. She's like, do not sign it. So I did not sign it. I sent it to her, and she framed it, and evidently it's above a toilet, which is a big honor for me, you know. Big honor.
Is there a plans for to bring her back to crossover with Fitzwillie Frog as a part of the FFCU, if you will, the Fitzwillie Frog Cinematic Universe?
You know, I don't really want to spill the beans, but there is some special plan for book 175.
any tips you can give us? I mean, you know, our audience, I'm sure, is already checking out all your books, so.
Well, we'll say it brings back a lot of the big characters you've forgotten about from the series. It's kind of like a big mashup. So it sort of is like the Avengers, but the animals who solve mysteries and or cause them, you know.
Are there any that are too large to get around the turnstiles? Because that would seem like that would be a perfect place for an Act 1, you know, inciting incident kind of thing.
Yeah, well, actually, if you ever do read the books in book 99, that is when the orca dies because he's out of water and he can't get on it, and so he can't get through the tunnel. And they're like, sir, we need your pass. And he eats a couple of the agents down there, but it don't matter. He dies that way. So, yeah, the big animals, they can't really take part in that.
What about the orchid?
Orca. You know,
orca, the bad whale. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. I thought it might have been crazy slang.
For a while there, I thought that maybe I would kill him in every book, sort of like South Park does with Kenny, you know, yeah. That whole thing. But you know, I kind of got over it, and I kind of got tired about writing about him, so he's gone now. He actually has a new arch nemesis. He's been in his last 15 or 20 books or so. His name is Professor Arthur Moray. He's a Moray eel, or Moray Arty. That will be his arch nemesis, Dan. And he's pretty devious. He's got some good plans. It's very tough for Fitzwilliam to keep up, but ultimately he will catch up with him. I promise you this.
Well, thank you for that promise. I'm going to write that
clever
down.
Clever way around the Doyle estate, too, because I believe they are fairly protective of the brand, but naming him that clever Maury RT is, you know, you're lawsuit proof.
Yeah, well, it's also like the estate. At first, they were like, "What is all this, then? What's all this, then?" But then, you know, they read a couple of the books and they said, "You know, there are similarities. We could sue you, or at least try to. But you know what? We love these books. We actually like them more than the books written by Sir Arthur. And you know what? Just keep writing them. Do whatever you need to do. But you know, keep it under download. Don't like reveal it on a podcast or something that we're giving you permission. But there I go, blown." It again.
Let's talk a little bit about your look. How do you think that Bob did with your appearance? Because it's quite striking. You're a striking gentleman, if I may say so.
Oh, thank you very much. It's pretty spot on. You know, it's pretty much what I look like. Sometimes my mustache does get a bit furrier on occasion. I've I did watch Magnum Private Investigator for a little while, and you know, I got inspired, so I really did bush it out. But it's pretty much back to normal now. I think it's just pretty dead on, to be honest. I even have a room where I have a fading wallpaper, which is phasing out of existence, which looks exactly like what he drew. I don't know how he did this, but he nailed it.
Well, maybe it was in the dating profile that Bob found when he was doing that search earlier.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
You know, there is a dating service for offers. It's called Right to Hookup. And basically, you go in there, and it's only for authors. You have to be published author. And you go in there, and you can, you know, swipe left to swipe right. It's a basic kind of interface, but you can have your choice of authors. You know, it's been really fun. I dated Beverly Cleary for a while, but, you know, that didn't really pan out in the long run. But lovely lass she is, lovely lady.
Ah, that must have been like a Harold and Maude type of thing going on.
Yeah, you know, it was a bit May, December, or what I like to call June, January, because I like to shift the seasons a little bit more than others do, because it's very traditional to go May, December. But not that many people go June, January, so I'll recommend that if you want a romance.
It's a nice twist.
Sorts of people on there. I even dated Stephen King, but then I found out it wasn't Stephen King. It was there are many Stephen Kings. There's like 40 of them. That's why he's able to put a book out every 15 minutes. He just dropped another one.
Oh, I thought maybe you dated Richard Bachman by accident, but go ahead, Connor.
It just sounded like a swipe at Stephen King's proclivity. But you've probably written, I would say, more books than he has in his lifetime.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, when we first met each other, it became a competition. We were like, let's see how fast and how good these books can be churned out. And like, there was one year where we each put out 144 books. Now, that's weird because I've only written 146. So most of the output was from that one year, Yeah, it was from that one dare with Mr. Stephen King. But, you know, four of them were eligible for the Pulitzer.
So, yeah, your career was front-loaded like John Cazale's was.
Yeah, pretty much. I knew it was you. He's a wonderful actor, he is. But, you know, I'm really taking time with this next one. One time I met George R.R. Martin at a conference, and he was like, just make him wait. Make them wait as long as you can, and the entire time giggle at them. So that's what I've been doing, giggling at them. Because my last book, of course, was written in 1981. So the rest are coming soon, I promise you that.
Now, Lord, may I call you Lord?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Wow, that was that silence there made me, I was sweating. I've never asked a Lord if I could call him a Lord before. We've rarely done this on the podcast, but I have to ask, I feel like your accent has been a little bit over the place, and I looked it up. It quickly went online here. Were you born in England,
Mike,
sir?
The accents on this podcast are traditionally consistent. And
That's what I'm saying. This is why it's a bit of a shock that there's a little drift to it. Sir, are you from England?
What was I saying? Of course I am. I'm very much so. Pip, pip, cheerio, take the lorry to the lift. Yeah, 100%. I'm from Britain. You guys, come on, stop breaking my balls here, all right? Fine.
Oh, dear.
I'm not from Britain. I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Well, this is, it sounds like, you know, just someone has, like, come in and shoved Lord Graham Bristlewhistle Pickleroy away. Are we talking to the same person?
Yeah, you know, like, my real name is Rick Johnson. I'm from the Bronx. I like to play stickball in the alley with my friends.
Oh, my
God. Oh, wow. So,
but, you know, everybody has pen names, you know, and I thought writing these children's books, and my friends are like, you know, you're making a fool out of yourself. But you know what? I printed a lot of books, and four of them good.
So you're not over there rubbing noses with the toffee. You're not eating toad in the hole. You're, in fact, playing stickball and telling people, I'm walking here. That's the real story.
Yeah, this guy's making me homesick.
You know, that is the real story, but here's the thing. For a little while, I pulled it off. I went over there. I pretended to be my, you know, my pen name, and everybody bought it for a little bit. But I had first introduced myself as Rick from the Bronx, and then I had to go back and forth between the two looks, you know, from the different people I met. It sure was crazy. It got hard. I kind of didn't remember. Am I Rick now? Am I Lord Grand Whistle Pickle Roy? Like, which guy am I currently? And then I got found out. But everybody kept it on the down low because, you know, they like the books. And then I came back here, you know, and now I'm working in accounts payable at a factory that makes shrimp nets.
Just to be clear, you do resemble Bob's illustration.
Yeah, you know, I did for a little while. That was the look. The problem was the going back and forth. I'd have to take the, you know, the little eyeliner and draw in the mustache, and I'd have it kept dyeing my hair different colors and then dyeing it back. I'd have it running all over my face, and people were like, what happened? And I'd be like, it's raining again, you know, or something to try to pull it off. But, you know, so I did have that look for a while, but now I'm just kind of committed to, you know, wearing this Yankees ball cap slightly to the side. I left the price tag on it.
The New York slices, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like to fold the slice in half and eat it that way.
So there was probably an incident where you went to a dinner and, like, your publisher was at one table and then your family was at another and you had to keep running to the bathroom and Mrs. Doubtfiring it and then you'd sit at the wrong table and go, uh-oh, what have I done? And then you weren't British.
That's 100% correct. And it was even harder because I was also dating this girl for a little while. It wasn't really dating, you know, we was having fun. But she thought that I was Beat a Rabbit. So I had to go back and forth between the three looks, you know, at that same dinner because she happened to be there with her sister. They were celebrating her promotion at work. Well, now she's, you know, not an assistant anymore. Now she's lead on the floor of the plant she works at. So anyways, it was a triangle, and boy, did I get tired.
Wow, that's a lot of makeup work too.
You probably needed a lozenge as well, switching back between two extremely difficult accents to pull off. What was
Yeah, I tell you, my voice is hot on me. I don't know why I have it. Bad choice, I would think. But, you know, it's how I sound. You know, it's how I am.
What inspired the choice to become a British lord in the first place?
Well, you know, I just really admired Monty Python. You know, I liked what they did because, you know, my stepfather, real bastard anyways, he had a box set that he left. It's all he left. And I used to watch that over and over. And I was like, you know, you can pull this accent off. You're a good actor. One time I was in a community theater production of Bertolt Brecht's The Caucasian Chalk Circle. I really had the chops. You know, I thought I could go back and forth. I'd done some musicals off Broadway too, like The Music Man. I'm a big fan of that one. 76 trombones led the big parade. You know, so I've done everything. I've worn a lot of hats. So, you know, I thought it would be a fun look for me. And it's worked. I made a little bit of money on these books. Not as much as I pretend to make, but I got a little bit.
So there's been times where you've been standing wearing half gloves, putting your hands over a barrel that was on fire, singing with some other thugs, and someone goes, hey, it's time to come in and do some theater now. Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, that's 100% correct.
Okay, thank you.
Do you ever like go to your window in your like wife beater tank top to like yell like, hey, shut up down there, but you accidentally do it in the Lord Grand Prick Whistle Boy voice?
Yeah, I've done that, you know, because sometimes the neighbors across the alley are having a fight about, like, why'd you eat the last pickle? And I'm like, oh my God, it's 3 a.m., guys. And I open up the door and I was like, hey, excuse me, then. Why don't you keep the ruckus down? Because some of us lords are trying to sleep. And that's when I had to move.
Yeah, you gotta leave the neighborhood then.
That's, yeah, I had to go then.
Yeah. I think there's a verse about that J-Lo talked about it, Jenny from the Block. That was how that would happen in her neighborhood every now and then in the Bronx.
Yeah, you know, I used to see her on the block. She was there. I'd see her all the time. And she'd be like, I'm just Jenny and I'm from here. And I was like, that's weird. Why are you telling that to everybody you're meeting? But, you know, but then she made a song and I was like, yeah, it's true. It's 100% true. She's not living a lie.
Fun fact, there's only one block in the Bronx.
That's right. It's really long.
It's a very big block.
Yep. It goes and goes like that Energizer bunny.
Well,
well, what is next for Lord or Rick? Whatever you prefer, I call you now.
Well, you know, it's tough. I've never been, you know, my pen name has never been physically shown like this. I've never been revealed to the world. So, you know, maybe it's time that I brought Fitzwillie across the pond now, you know. Maybe he can have a new partner or something that helps him, like Rico Rat or something, or like Perry Pigeon, you know, who's just constantly eating. You know, they can solve crimes over here, and then I can publish it under like a kind of a mashup of the two names, like Lord Graham Rick Johnson, you know, something like that.
You could have the Subway Pizza Rat in your stories. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, oh yeah, he'd be great.
Frogs moving to the city and solving crimes with the help of a rat. He could really take Manhattan. I think would be a that's something that entertainment, frog based entertainment, has been lacking.
Yeah, you know, Manhattan hasn't been took since 1986. It's time it got took again, you know, and I could do that. I'm the guy.
Lord, you get Graham, to Manhattan Richard... often? You seem to be rooted.
He does Broadway theater, or is that, I assumed it was Broadway theater. Or is
yeah, I like Broadway. To go over and use the TKTS booth, get tickets at 50% off, so I could see things I wouldn't normally otherwise see, like the unsinkable Molly Brown, or Annie Get Your Gun, or maybe like a single hander, like Jesse Tyler Ferguson did Totally Committed. I saw that. That was brilliant, and only 81 minutes long. So, you know, I do like to get over that because I'm super cultured.
Always with a folded slice in hand, though, of course.
Yeah, of course, you know, that comes with the tickets.
Oh, okay. Well, fascinating. What book do you want to most plug? Because you'll get the 372 pages bump. People will rush to buy this book. So what would you like to plug?
Oh, geez. You know, I got a new series that I haven't yet released, but, you know, it is one that's coming out probably in the next week or so. And now I think there'll be drummed up interest because it is. It's called Tedward Toad, Notary Public. And, you know, it's not such a menial job. You get paid a lot for it. But it's also a romance. So Tedward Toad, yeah, he's a toad by day, but at night he's a bit of a Lothario. You know, he gets out on the town and gets into trouble. So that book series will be coming out soon.
But he's a toad by day, but then a Lothario by night, but he's still a toad.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he puts on like a cravat and like an open shirt with the like it's I haven't really worked out the illustrations yet, but this he looks good. He pulls it off.
You're thinking of Larry from Three's Company, I think is what you're trying to describe.
Yeah, that could be right. I did love that show. I did love that show. It was good. And Mr. Roper. Oh my God, that guy.
My friends' kids who are really into Paw Patrol, their one complaint about it is that like firemen, police dog, no notary public dog. So I think that this is really going to make some inroads with the young kids out there.
Yeah, they got to diversify the job selection for the Paw Patrol, you know. Dogs like to do other things. You know, they do. They do. People don't know that.
No Lothario dogs either. So I think we've got some real ground to mine.
Yeah, I agree. They should get on that. If you know somebody, I could write them a letter, you know. You should get behind the movement, maybe collect signatures.
Well, Connor knows the children of kids who watch it, so that's probably not going to get you that far. But thank you, Rick. We won't take any more of your time. I think this is the first expose we've ever done on the show, and I hope that your career is only helped by it.
Oh, thanks. You know, honestly, it was pretty freeing being able to, you know, find out who I really am and let everybody else know, because I've been doubt firing it for so long. I've been tootsying it, and it's good to just finally be free to be myself, or to be Lord Graham Birtwistle Bigleroy, if that's what I feel like. You know, I can go both ways there.
Yeah, keep the mustache
more than
pencil
one truth.
Handy. That's true. All right, well, thank you. This has been Meet the Authors, and Bob and Connor, any last words?
No, it was a delight, an utter delight. I will watch out for wherever you might be walking, whether it's here, there, and next time I'm in New York.
I hope I run Indian.
All right, thanks, everyone. So
best
long.
Best of luck. Bye.